Thank you, Ren. That's such a long reading. And it'd be interesting. I mean, some of you have heard that for three times now. And I wonder if you've had a sort of different, that you've been drawn to a different verse each time. Has that been the case for anyone? I think it's amazing how the Spirit does that, that you can hear the same passage and then have a very different response. Well, today is the final. Oh, thank you, Paul. That's very sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Is that okay? Ooh. Yeah, that's great. Do you know what? I'm probably going to end up holding it anyway. So you'll be really glad. Well, you might not be glad. You might be sad. But this is the final reflection on this passage as we think about what it is to be a courageous church. And Joy, as we've heard, has began this mini-series 2 weeks ago. And we're thinking about what it is to be a Christ-like church. One helpfully centered around the three C's. And so we've been thinking, you've thought about being a contemplative church. We heard about Jenny's response about that. One that's really rooted in our relationship with God, which, like Jesus, that we spend time with the Father in his presence. And then last week, Joy spoke about being a compassionate church, one which loves and draws alongside others, as Jesus did, as we've heard, with this family who he loved so much that he wept with them. And so today, as we've been thinking really helpfully with Leslie, with our game, and with our prayers, that we've been thinking about being a courageous church, one which faces the future with hope and confidence because of God and his hopes and his purposes. Because the thing is, the shadow over this whole story, these whole 45 verses and more either side, is, as the disciples are all too aware, Jesus, by returning to Bethany, is going to bring forward his death, his own suffering, his own pain, and to raise Lazarus from the dead. That is actually going to make it certain. So we're going to explore that together, but let's start with a prayer. Father God, we just so long to be a church that is more like Christ. And as we think over these next 10 minutes or so about being a courageous church, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would inspire us, that we may have hope and confidence in your ways and your purposes for the future. And we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. I've got a few pictures as a PowerPoint picture coming up, Gav. I wonder if any of you have seen the film The Zookeeper's Wife. It's based on a true story of a Polish zookeeper and his wife, who, despite great fears for their own lives and for that of their children, they hide about 300 Jews in their zoo during World War II to hide them from the Nazis. It's not an easy film to watch. There's some horrible scenes in it. But what is really fascinating is the courage of Antonina. I think that's how you say her name. She's really anxious at the start, very hesitant about hiding the Jews. But her compassion, which grows, leads her to acts of intense bravery as she risks more and more to protect the lives of others. Her fear never, ever fades. But what is greater than her fear is the belief in the preciousness of life, the need to protect it, and her hope for the future that the Nazis will be defeated, that their evil will be conquered. And I think today, as we think about what it is to be courageous, I think that's the key. When the call on us is greater than our fear, when our hope for the future is greater than our present reality. You know, because being courageous as individuals and as God's people together does not mean not being afraid. You know, if we're not afraid, it's not courage. It's not about closing our eyes and pretending everything's okay. It's not about wearing rose-tinted glasses. Courage is being afraid and yet still pressing on, doing the right thing. Why? Because of our hope and confidence in God. the God who is with us. That beautiful prayer that Sheila read to us. Because of our belief in his plans and his purposes for the future, his vision of the world, his ultimate victory over sickness, decay, death, and our sharing in those things. So we thought a little bit about what the word courageous means. I was a little bit panicking when Leslie did that. I thought, are you going to come up with my interpretation of what courage is? So to be courageous is to be wholehearted. It comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. It's kind of similar in French, cœur. And to be encouraged is literally to have the heart put back in you. Wholehearted, bold, daring. We came up with some of these. Because of the dreams that God puts on our hearts because of his strength. It's a bit like the Tin Man and the lion sort of all roll together. The heart and the courage roll together. Now, Jesus in our passage knows that returning to Bethany will bring about his arrest and his death. And the disciples can't believe that he wants to go back. In verse 8, we heard that they question him. They say, you know, a short while ago, the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you want to go back? In other words, are you mad? And in one sense, if we kind of map out the reality, he is. For as we read in verse 45 onwards, after this miracle, the plot to kill Jesus intensifies. For the Pharisees have their own fears. They fear a popular uprising among the people around Jesus. He'd become so popular. And they feared that the Romans would come in and swiftly and ruthlessly crush that uprising and impose their rule and probably destroy the temple. The Pharisees wanted Jesus gone to preserve the status quo, to preserve the comfort of their own life. And it's really clear for the disciples what going to Bethany means. Did you hear Thomas's words over these last 3 weeks? Thomas says, let us also go that we may die with him. I love his frankness. He's kind of got a bit of an Eeyore character about him. We're going to die. And Jesus also has to be really courageous to face the emotions of Mary and Martha. Their disappointment in him. Why did he not come? Why did he not come earlier? Their misunderstanding of his motives of what was going on, as well as their really deep hurt and pain and their grief for the brother that they love. If only you had been here, Jesus. And into the mix with all of that is his own emotions too. His knowledge that he does have power over death. He is able to raise Lazarus from the dead. He's able to transform all that weeping and sadness into joy, and yet comes with a cost. Cost to his own life. I wonder how courageous you feel you are. I wonder how courageous we are as a church here at New Hope. I had a little video, and it's just been on Twitter this week, and it's a little pony. And my hyperlink didn't work, so it doesn't matter. But anyway, this little pony, he's in his little shed, and there's snow outside, and he's just scared. And the step is literally this big, and he's like this. And he's like this for about a couple of minutes. And then finally he's brave. So I don't know if that's like you, or certainly sometimes that's like me. There's something like a tiny step, but it just seems so huge. Jesus is courageous because he longs for God to be glorified before all things. That is his ultimate aim. He knows that his actions will bring glory to God. It's what he talks about at the beginning of our reading in verse 4. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And that glory is ultimately, mind-blowingly, cross-shaped. Again and again in John's Gospel, when Jesus refers to his glory, when he says the time has come for him to be glorified, it's about the cross. Yes, the raising of Lazarus is the most miraculous act, which does glorify God. It's a sign of who Jesus is. But it not only leads, but it points to the cross. and Jesus' own death and resurrection. That final and ultimate sign of God's kingdom breaking in and conquering death permanently. As a church, we are called to be courageous for God's glory. And that does mean taking up our crosses. Not literally here in Reading, although there will be Christians across the world when that does mean literally taking up a cross. And the disciple Thomas knew that to his credit. He had heard Jesus teaching his disciples that they must take up their crosses and follow him. And he is ready, as we've heard, to die with Jesus. Like master, like servant. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also, says Jesus in a little few more chapters on. You know, following Jesus is not an easy option. I hope nobody's ever told you it would be. And what does it mean for each of us to take up our crosses? What does that mean for us here at New Hope? To go out of our comfort zones, maybe at work, with our family, with our neighbours. What it does mean is that we seek God's glory before all other things. It means putting down our agendas the way we want things. And it means putting him first, taking risks. I will never forget the words of Liz Lewis. Some of you will know her. She's a GP in Reading. And she's one of our... In fact, she's on the calendar that Leslie was showing you. She shared about how she was to return to South Sudan to work with MEDAIR again. And she shared how she was afraid. Real risk to her own safety. And yet through her prayers, through the reading of scripture, she knew that was God's call on her life. And so she's there now, being God's hands and feet, healing the sick for his glory. What courageous acts is God asking each of us to do to bring him glory? You know, the disciple Thomas, his dogged determination to follow Jesus, even to die with him, was courageous. Yet his courage was kind of really different from Jesus' courage. Why? Because Thomas didn't have hope. He couldn't see beyond the suffering. We're going to die. He didn't see beyond that. He didn't have any expectations in the greatness of God and his purposes. He couldn't see that this path to Bethany, though, was really grim. It was the absolutely best thing because God was at work and because God's plans are good plans. And with God, all things are possible. You know, there is an excitement, there is a wonder of the impossible being possible when we follow Jesus, even when things are hard. We can't box God in and limit what he can do just because our imaginations can't stretch that far. Every day, there is the potential for surprise and joy at God's goodness. I'm sure you know that. Because, as we've sung, as Tony led us in that lovely song, Jesus has no rival. He has no equal. There is no power greater than him. He is the creator, the one who is immeasurable. I wonder what your expectations are for what God can do with us as his people here at New Hope. Are those expectations big enough? Are they bold enough for us to be a beacon of light here in this neighborhood? You know, fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit, and that's one of the things that he does, is to help us see the future as God sees it. Oh, those wonderful words that Peter spoke out on the day of Pentecost. I'm just going to read them from, it was the prophet Joel who said that. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Hopefully young women and old men and young old women as well. You know, let's dream for our church, for our community, because God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. So as we close, how can we be courageous? Just goes back to those other two C's. Kind of wraps up really nicely. You know, for as for Jesus and for us, time spent with God is the absolutely only way that we can be courageous. The only way we can really begin to think about taking up our crosses and all that that means. Spending time with God is the way that our fears are overcome. And God plants in us those dreams, these visions of his future, his heart. And as we spend time with God, we start to love other people in the way that God loves them. And so we grow in our compassion. As we are contemplative, as we are compassionate, so we become courageous. Our faith is not in ideas. It's not even in beliefs. It's in a relationship with the one who is the resurrection and the life. For this life and the next, here and in the future. How can we not be courageous with the Lord Jesus by our side? Should we spend some time? Let's just be silent before our Lord Jesus now, who's here with us. Let's hand over those areas of our lives where we are lacking courage. Let's give those to him, to Jesus now. Lord Jesus, those areas where your fear is greater than your hopes and dreams. And let's hand over to you, to Jesus, those things in our church here at New Hope where we lack courage, perhaps a reluctance to serve in a way, or perhaps we've offered to serve in a way, but we're afraid of that. Let's give those to Jesus. And let's ask the Lord Jesus to fill us with his love. Give us new hearts, bold hearts. And let's ask the Spirit to breathe into us new hope, new courage, to dream big dreams for him. Come, Holy Spirit. Our healer, a dream giver, widen our vision as a church here at New Hope. May our desire be for God's glory in all that we do, with the Lord Jesus by our side. Amen. Amen. I think we're going to sing. Is that right, Tony? Yeah, you stand and we respond with these words.
Some of the words in the next song is